Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show.
Hey, folks, it's time for the show.
Welcome.
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
I am so glad that you are here again, quadrupling the audience for the following previous week. That doesn't even make any sense, but quadrupling the audience that we had last week from the prior week. We are very excited for you to be here, and thank you for being here on Fix the Family, Fix America Radio. Confucius said, to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. That's right. That's what we're doing right here, right now, making a generational impact on everything and everyone that can make this planet better. We do it with our exclusive 4+1 method, which includes positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease and the diet, where we tell you steps to prevent, cure, and eradicate degenerative diseases that are affecting families across this planet. And I cannot be more happy to get started on this show today. As you have heard for the last 2 weeks, as you heard for the last 2 weeks, we have all the way across the biggest pond that I know of, over in the UK, there's some special stuff happening. And that special stuff is starting with a transformational speaker. She's an entrepreneur, a writer, author, radio presenter, and a coach. That's right, she can coach you, and some of you need lots of it. She asks questions like, do you really know what it is you desire? Are you aimlessly drifting through life? We talk about that a lot here because, remember, reveal your success. You must first cultivate your personal life before you can work on family and nation and world. So are you hoping things will get better? Remember, we talk about how hope is simply someone without a plan. And then, do you know who you are? And do you like who you are? Now, these are questions that this guest can help you answer. I have known her for a very long time. It's very fantastic for me to have her here. I was honored to be her first American, by the way, on her radio show. And she will be the first UK on this radio show. So I'm very pleased. Adele, Amani, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. And wow, I'm the first UK person. Brilliant.
That's right. Now, see, ladies and gentlemen, everyone who calls in and says, I sound slightly Southern, she's bringing a new tone and method of speaking to this show.
Oh, I hope they can understand me.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be a lot fun. They talk about how sometimes when I rant on topics. I'll get a little southern, as we say, and so they'll be very pleased that you're on here right now. Now, Miss Edel, let me ask you some questions so that we can get excited. First of all, you have 30 years experience in personal development. Now, that is a lot of wisdom.
Oh, thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
And because this is Fix the Family, Fix America, you're a single parent of four children.
That's right.
Now, how do you take that 30 years of wisdom of personal development and have just went with your children as a single parent like that? I just, that's stunning to me.
Well, it was at a time, I mean, looking back now, I can see, you know, sort of really what happened, and I wish I'd known what I can now teach people. I wish I'd known back then, because I would have saved myself and my children a lot of anguish and pain. I didn't, unfortunately, and I was in very controlling relationships, and I went through a very controlling 10-year marriage, and it was very abusive, and it was actually safer for me to be on my own with the children rather than to be in the relationship. So I had to make a decision, and it was a very, very scary decision to make, because at the time, my youngest was just over a year. My two middle ones were about 7 and 8, and my eldest one was about 14, 15. So all reasonably young. Plus, I had been looking after them for 20-odd years, you know, since my eldest daughter was born and before that. So I didn't have any qualifications. I didn't have any career. And I literally had to start from scratch. I had to build a career that would support and bring in enough money to support the four children. But I did it. And a lot of that is down to me going back to my connection or through my energy work, through my spirituality, through my personal development. And I connected back into that and realized that that's where my strength came from, and that I was actually creating my reality, and I was creating opportunities to come to me because of the power I was putting behind my thoughts. And all of the techniques that I teach people now, I actually used then to build a very successful and accelerated career in corporate finance once I was on my own with my children.
Well, now, okay, I gotta back up. There's a million things that come from what you just said. for everyone listening, first of all, a single parent of four children who had to make a massive decision, not just a small little change in her life. She had to make a massive decision, which required massive change, to go from being the mother to being mother / earner, breadwinner, in one fell swoop. And it's because of the wisdom she's gained in personal development, as she said, maybe not as much as she wanted to know at the beginning, or as much as she knew in the beginning, she took it all in one big step, one big giant leap, and here she is today. Your children are probably well older than that now, right?
Oh, yes. They're, my youngest son is now 15.
Okay, so this was 15 years ago.
Yeah, 14, 15 years ago.
All right, so 15 years ago, one big giant leap of getting out of a relationship that was you could no longer be in, taking your four children and saying, it's all about to start brand new. It starts tonight. Just like the opening credits of my show says, it all starts tonight, and you made that decision. How tough, well, not, I know how tough it was. I can understand how tough it was. Mm-hmm. I would like to know when you're sitting there faced with this massive leap, because I've got several people that need to take massive leaps in some of the talks that I do with the people. In taking this massive leap, what made you say, I can do this? I want to know what happened to say, I can do this.
Well, it's a lot of it is about, and again, this is part of what I teach now, is learning to define who you are. And at that point, I didn't know who I was. I was buried. I had not been myself for years because I had been living through somebody else's life. And I had to find who I was in order to know where on earth I was going to go and what I was going to do. And that took time. That took time to find for me to find out. But at the time, I mean, I'd always, even when I was a child, I'd always sought to know more. I was brought up as an Irish Catholic, and it didn't really ever reconcile with me because I always knew there was more. There was always something that just, you know, wasn't quite giving me the answers. And I ended up doing science through school, and I did physics, and that started to answer a lot of questions for me because it was dealing with energy. When I was on my own with the children, I turned back to just knowing I was connected to something, that I could just feel it. I could feel this connection. And I was drawn at the time to go to a spiritualist church, which I did. And I went in there for a couple of years, and I developed and I started doing energy healing, and I would give messages and all sorts of things. And it didn't answer all of my questions, but it was a very good basis to start when I had nothing. And what I would do is obviously because I'm Irish, my name goes back to the 10th century in Ireland. So my ancestors were all warriors. And what I used to do is I used to visualize that I was a warrior too. And faced with this huge decision of I've got to go out there, I've got to go not only get a job, but I've got to get a good job, and I've got to make sure I keep moving up. And I had no confidence at this point. I had the confidence knocked out of me. I wouldn't, you know, if anybody talked to me, I would go as red as a beetroot. So the whole thing was a huge challenge for me. And it was literally, I term it as jumping off a cliff. Felt like, you know, I felt that I would put it off and put it off and put it off. And if I had people chasing me for money, because obviously with my children, the equivalent, how can I, for you would be, I was on then about £49 British pounds a week. So that would probably be about 30 something dollars. And I had to buy food, clothe the children, pay all the bills with it. Obviously, it didn't go very far.
Well, no.
And, of course, and then because I was worrying about it, more stuff was happening and there was more, you know, and other bills would turn up that I didn't know existed. And I used to feel like running away. I would almost visualize that I would run to the edge of a cliff and I could not run any further because the only way was down or I had to come back and face it all. And then I thought, okay, well, if I go forward, what's going to happen? You know, what will really happen if I just take a big breath and go, okay, I've got to face it and I've just got to see what happens. And so I did. And of course, not a great deal really did happen. You know, I had to face these things, but I managed to get them sorted out at the same time. You know, I managed to be able to build a communication with these people that I felt so uncomfortable talking to because I was so nervous and so unconfident. And I found that by saying to them, well, look, you know, actually I haven't got the money and, you know, I'm on this, and they'd be like, oh, okay, that's all right. And I was like, great. I've done it. This is brilliant. You know, and then I'd go in and I'd start, you know, sort of looking for work. And I went in and I started to, I trained in finance. I was in corporate finance for my last career. And I started to train in accountancy with a local college. And the tutor there, and she was just a wonderful person. And she would constantly boost me up and say, you know, why are you doing this simple course? You should be doing a degree course. You know, you're intelligent. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And, you know, it was just through little things that were happening. And But I had to start believing in myself. And at the first, I did it more because of my children, because I knew I had to believe in myself for them. And they had, I did not want them growing up thinking that I was just going to sort of sit in front of the television and just let the state keep me. That isn't something that I could do. You know, I have to pay my way. That's the way I am. I like to know I'm in control and I'm the one that's, you know, sorting everything out and paying the bills. And I wanted to be able to be a decent role model to my children. I didn't want them to grow up thinking it was okay to go running out and hang around on the edge of the streets and come in when they felt like it. And the only way I could do that was actually by showing them myself, that I put pride in myself and in the fact that I wanted to do well at work and to be successful. You know, it was actually funny enough. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I actually realised I'd done it. It was something like one of my daughters said, and you know, she said, she goes, "Mum, you know, you did everything you could, and you know, you are the best role model we could ever have." And it was just completely took me aback.
Well, see, now that has to, after everything you've been through, bring it home to say, I took the right step, I made the massive leap, and even though it might have been the hardest thing in the world, I obviously succeeded at it.
Yeah. What says it more to me now is that I have three daughters who are all qualified. I have one who's an IT developer, one who's a forensic pathologist, one who's now studying law at university. And to look at them now from where I was, because when they were small and I was on my own, and I it did really, really scare me that they were going to end up delinquent, that I wasn't going to be the sort of parent that was going to be able to handle it all. And when I see them now, and it does, you know, I'm so proud of them, but I know that they would not have become, I mean, excuse me, they are so confident, they are so intelligent, they are so practical, you know, and that was everything I ever wanted them to be, so that they were fully prepared for going out there and just finding their own path and being confident enough to take their own path. And I see it in them now, and it's absolutely, you know, I'm just so proud of them. I couldn't put it into words.
Well, now, obviously the trip that you've taken with them after the massive leap has ingrained upon them a very hardworking can-do spirit.
Yes.
Do you think that if you did not take that leap, that things would be exactly where you are today?
No. It's very much because, obviously, you know, from over here in the UK, the way the governments have worked, they've provided this social system over here. And over the years, a lot of it has got abused. Be honest with you.
We talk about that on the show.
Yeah, and there are people who will just live lifetimes, generations of people who will live on the social state. But you see the children, and you see they have no belief in themselves. They have no respect for themselves, and they have no vision. They have no creative vision as to that they could do something, they could be someone. It doesn't even enter the heads. And that was the one thing I was determined I would never, ever let my children be like. It was probably my driving force at the time. It was more for them, but it kind of saved me at the same time. It, you know, I finally came back out again because I was so passionate about making sure that they grew up as individual and confident people. And I suddenly started to find this confidence in myself, because after every leap that I did and every jump off the cliff, and you know, I wouldn't, because I used to visualize it like, if you jump off the cliff and you could imagine that you're falling down the cliff and you break your bones, or you can imagine that you jump off a cliff but you land firmly on your feet and you walk away. And every time I used to do those leaps, I would land on my feet and I would walk away. And every single leap I did, it then got easier. It got easier and easier. And in the end, I mean, now, if I have challenges now, I'm just like, yeah, bring it on. Come on. You know, I'm ready for it. You know, I'm fearless. Absolutely fearless now.
I love that. Bring it on.
But it is. I mean, there is nothing I am afraid of. You know, after having gone through that and it's developed my character, it brought my personality back, and it also brought me a confidence. And I know I can handle any situation now, anything at all. And the beautiful thing is that my children, without me even realizing it, this is the silly thing, is I never realized that they were taking in what I was doing. And I think this happens with a lot of families, is parents don't realize how much the child is influenced by what the parents do.
No, yeah, they don't. You're right.
Yeah, and I mean, I never realized it. I mean, you know, when I was trained to be a coach, one of the questions that we had to ask people was, what did they think was my biggest achievement? And I was always expecting people to say, oh, you know, I made a successful career in finance, because I went from being a sales clerk to a financial controller in 8 years. And apparently, you know, it's unheard of. Every single one of them came back and said, bringing up 4 children on your own.
Yeah.
I was sort of like, oh, oh, is that all?
I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about that first, because that right there, I mean, while you see all the stuff you had to do around it, that and bringing up the 4 children the way they are now, you look at that, that is the true success of what you've done to me. Yes, you have the no fear, and that's fantastic too, because we talk about that. And you know my story, as we spoke on your radio show, how I have no fear after my premature daughter experience.
Yeah.
And we talk about how the mind, once you jump off that cliff, as you say, and you find out that, hey, I can handle that challenge, then now your next challenge must be bigger before it starts to make you say, oh, that's the challenge. You know, because
yeah,
if you just have the same challenge over and over, you're going, this is easy, I've done it before. And so you stretch your mind. Once you get it, once you go past the point where you think you've never been before, then suddenly your next goal places you've never seen.
Yeah.
So that's what, I mean, that stuff right there is amazing. And so when you have people tell you raising your 4 children, that is correct. And I know you had to probably pull back and say, I did all this other stuff.
It was also because I didn't see bring up my children on my own as anything particularly outstanding, because there was nobody else to bring them up. There was only me. So it didn't even enter my head that it was any big deal. You know, it was just, they are my children, I had to bring them up.
Well, see, and when you talk about how you have social generations, we have the same thing over here, called welfare generations. That doesn't occur to some parents. probably in the UK, but definitely over here. That doesn't occur. Once they have a child, it's, well, they either think of it two ways. I either have this major, major inconvenience, or I've got this great responsibility.
Wow.
And that's sad. Whereas you, that was just, it wasn't even a question. These are my children. I got to bring them up.
Yeah, most definitely. I can definitely say, I mean, yes, it was tough and it was hard and it was difficult because I had to give up a lot of my own personal time, you know, my own sort of, if I had had things that I wanted to do then, it wasn't possible because even down to taking holidays,
right.
It just wasn't possible with four children. You couldn't afford it, you know.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we didn't have a holiday for something like 10 years. But, you know, I'd have days, I'd take time off work and I'd take them out and we go out for days and we go to the beach or we go to see, you know, a farm or something. So we adapted. That's the thing, we adapted. And, you know, we were such a strong family unit, even though I was a single parent. They didn't miss for anything while I brought them up. They had love and devotion. They had somebody that was interested in what they did. I used to make sure that they carried on their studies through the holiday times when they had the big summer holidays. I would set them work so that they would keep their brain active. I would always be talking to them. I would always be getting to look at things and go to museums and, you know, listen to music and whatever. You know, I completely gave up my life so that it was focused on them. Because I knew, although I would have liked to have had, you know, a personal life or whatever back then. But I felt that if there was somebody in my life, it would have taken something away from them. And I didn't ever want to do that. And, you know, for a while, it felt like it was never, ever going to end. But then I realized that they were obviously growing up. They were getting older. And I knew that there would be a point when they were all old enough to be going off doing their own things. And that was the time that I would then have my life.
Now, Adele, you're talking some stuff that the listeners to this show know about, but the people that know have no idea. And that would be the self-sacrifice and the unselfishness to pay attention to your children instead of thinking that it's your time and you got to go on and do your thing. That I don't know about over there, but over here, that is a incredible problem. Now,
really?
What one way where if you had a parent that is having this issue with, well, I need to live my life now while I'm young versus my life will come to me after I do my duty of raising my children, what would your advice be to say, through my hardest times when I was thinking this was impossible, I got through it this way?
I think the way that I rationalized it is that if it was my choice to have the children, they didn't ask to be born. You know, it was purely my choice that, you know, I wanted to have children and I had each of the pregnancies and, you know, they were all born. So therefore, I was responsible for them. You know, they especially sort of as young as they were, and, you know, and obviously, you know, yourself, but, you know, with the babies and they can't fend for themselves. They can't deal for themselves. And it takes a while before they're getting to that point. So if you're going to have children, you have to have them with a mind that you are going to be there and be responsible for them in the time until they can become independent, you know, and the more you nurture them, the more you help. And it's never controlling children, it's guiding them. You know, I learned this so early on with my children. I used to watch them and I used to think how magnificent these little individuals were, and they were so unique, and they just were bursting with energy. And I would never ever try to stop or quell that energy. But what I would do is would be guide them. And I, you know, if they were doing something, or maybe they started arguing between them, and I would come in, and we never actually argued. It was more discussions. It might get heated discussions, but they were more discussions, because after coming out of my marriage, I vowed I would never ever go into arguments and fighting and anything like that again. So if there was something, or if they were doing something, and or they didn't want to do something, I asked them, rather than saying to them, "Flap, go do it," I would say to them, I'd you know, stop everything, and I'd say, "I really need you to understand why I want you to do this, or why you need to do this right now." And I, you know, I'd say, I'm not asking you, or I'm not telling you, but I am asking you. And I want you to do this for me. And so they got to understand, you know, they got to understand that it's about conversation, it's about communication. And they then started to understand that they also weren't thinking of themselves all the time, but they were thinking of others and how others were going to feel if they did a certain thing. but, you know, for people who are in that situation now, it is you have to adapt. You have to, and I know it can get frustrating, and you're thinking, you know, yes, I want to go out and I want to do this, and I have to be in with the children. Excuse me, sorry. Oh, in my throat.
You need some tea. Okay. I'm actually having tea, so my libation this evening is tea.
Oh. you know, it's if you keep thinking you want to have a life and you want to go out and you want to party, you want to do this, you're going to end up being completely frustrated and resentful. You'll start resenting your children. And as I said, they didn't ask to be born. They are there. They are real, and they have to take priority. So it's working your lifestyle around your children. You know, it might be. I mean, I wasn't lucky enough to have family around me or friends, because when I was married, my ex made sure I didn't have any friends. So it was just me and the children. There wasn't anybody else. Sorry.
Right. Well, you bring up an incredible two things that I wanted to bring back up on what you said. And the first one was, you know, you made the decision to have the children, and and a lot of people out there today would tell you, well, I didn't make the decision. Something that obviously
that
we have.
Baby,
say what?
How does that baby get there then?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, they were having whatever they had fun, and then this was the accident. And then the second thing, so I'd love to know what you would say to people that didn't want the children, that are trying to, I don't know, if they can be convinced to listen to this show, which I'm sure would be, they would say, well, I'm the best parent in the world, even though I didn't want my children. What would you say to people that didn't want their children? And then second, where you said, I guided my children. I didn't tell them what to do. I went and told them why they needed to do it, and then they would then make their own decision. People today would sit there and say, especially the ones that didn't want the children, say that, if I were to not tell my child what to do, they would just run amok and run crazy And so I would like to go back to something we talk about very often on this program, is that once you have parenting that is respected, and once you have parenting that is also feared in some manner, you have to have some fear that there will be repercussions. Once you have that type of parenting, then and only then do I think that you're able to communicate with the child and children in the manner that you're saying, because there is a trust and there is a, as you said, a tight bond. And I think that is critical. So I want you to go a little bit into that. So now, that was two questions and it was multiple parts. The people that didn't want children today, as you said, making, you know, generational social families, what do you see as one of the best ways that that could be eliminated or at least lessened as a thing that you would say?
Well, I think if it comes down to unwanted pregnancy, then it's got to be where children are educated better in understanding that you know, yes, they might go in and have a great time and they think that sex is wonderful, but it's got to be responsible. If it's not responsible, you end up with a child. Simple as that. You know, they're the facts. If you decide to go through the pregnancy, you are then responsible.
Right.
And I think a lot of young people that have children, it's not that they don't want the children. I think it's just a lack of self-belief in themselves, is that they, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, they don't know who they are. I will say one thing, that I always was a bugbear with me when I was bringing my children up, and I try not to focus on it now, is the social conditioning of media. When they are putting out toys or for children to play with dolls and prams, they are conditioning children to saying it's okay, you know, this is just like a baby and it's fine, it's a toy. And what happens is when children or young teenagers start to grow up, they actually think of, yeah, I'll have a baby because it's like a toy, because it's like a little doll. But then they realize that this little doll has its own mind.
Yeah.
And they can't control it because they are not equipped and they have not learnt, one, how to handle themselves, let alone a baby. And it does come down to having to know exactly who you are, and that sometimes you won't get that in families because the generational conditioning again might not allow for somebody to be in a position where they can grow up and actually grow, you know, sort of mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They may have to follow a conditional generational thing, you know, well, we always did this way and that's the way it is. And so if they haven't got it as they've grown up, they need to, what you do is amazing. So there is help out there. There are places people and children and young adults can go to get the right, I wouldn't say training, but development, to get the right development, to put them in the place to be totally confident that they can handle these sort of situations. Because I'm firmly believe that those who say, you know, oh, you know, I don't want a kid, I can't do this, it's only down to the fact that they seriously just do not believe in themselves. They have no faith in themselves. They have no confidence in themselves. They don't even love themselves. And until, and this goes to anything, because, you know, in the work that I do, when, you know, people want to manifest, the first job I do with them is to get them to learn to define who they are. Because until they've got that, they haven't got the confidence to recognize coincidences, to match opportunities, and to take those steps and go, yeah, I'm going to go for that. They just don't have the self-belief to do it. And you know, that's got to be the cornerstone of everything.
Okay, now you're tapping on exactly what we do here. this is going to be key. Now first of all, ladies and gentlemen listening, you've heard some amazing Make a Difference mothers, and this is just another example. We had Jay Blair Brown, another single mother, on just a couple weeks ago. And this one, this Make a Difference mother right here, is telling you that before she was Make a Difference mother, okay, before she could put her family in order, she had to cultivate her own personal life, and she had to make herself a success. Now she takes that wisdom, which was a lot of wisdom, by the way, that we talked about, and she helps you cultivate your success. Now, Adele, tell people right now what you do in your daily activities now that's helping cultivate the success, which will then lead to the family be a success, which will then lead nation success and world success. So what do you do with people now, stepping away from the children and the family a little bit? I want to know what Adele does with people now to cultivate that success mindset and attract that incredible life that everyone is wishing that they had.
Well, in my experience, in my 30 years of development, obviously I understood the science. I understood, right, going back to when I did physics, and didn't really make the connection, you know, into all types and all walks of life with energy. But I certainly did as I moved up and as I, you know, had the challenges. And I realized that what I was focusing on, I was actually attracting to me. But I didn't know how. I didn't know how I was doing it. And then over time, I began to understand, and I sort of devoured information, and I found out as much stuff as I could. And what I teach people now is learning to live and to listen energetically. I help people become conscious creators, to transform the way that they think, because unfortunately so many people have disconnected from their true essence because of social conditioning, because of what they hear on the news, because of what they see in the newspapers. They're being told, they're being controlled, they're being told this is the way it is, it's no different, it's not going to get better, in fact it's going to get worse. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. You know, in the recession that started back at the end of 2009, this last year that's gone, there have been more millionaires made in this last year than there have in the last 10. You know, and this is from people who have stepped away from listening to what, you know, this social conditioning is. They've stepped away from it. They said, no, actually, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I'm going to make my own mind up. I am going to take control of the way I think and what I desire to bring into my life. And I help people put very specific strategies in place, because in this time of bringing up my children and going through my corporate career, I identified very specific strategies, or, you know, techniques that I found. Actually, you know, sometimes things didn't work. Sometimes what I wished for didn't happen, or it took absolutely ages to turn up. Other times it would suddenly, just in a heartbeat, it would be there. And I'd go, okay, so where's the correlation? Where there's, you know, there's a pattern here. And I found what these things are. And I put this together in a course, because I teach around the 12 elemental principles that the places like CERN, you know, in Geneva in their particle acceleration, and they've identified that there are 12 elemental particles that make up everything. Everything in the universe is made up of these 12 particles. There are principles around these particles because they're all principles around energy. And I teach people that I've put this course together. I put a 6-module course together, and I base it around one of these elemental principles, which is the law of attraction, which is what is like unto itself is drawn. So whatever vibrational frequency you are giving out, whether it be through the frequency of your thoughts, of your emotions, you are sending a vibration out that energy will automatically send you back the same vibration in experiences or in opportunities. So if you're living a life where you've got no money coming in, and your mind is, oh my God, how am I going to pay the bills? Where's the money going? How am I going to buy food? I've got no money. You are sending out a vibrational message to the universe that this is what you desire. You desire no money because you keep thinking about it. And the universe just goes, okay, this is what I'm getting. I'm going to give you more of it. And so you get more of having no money and not having enough and more bills. And it's teaching people how to change that thinking. And it can be a bit challenging at first, especially when and I know myself, because I was totally conditioned. And it took me a little bit of time to turn that thinking around, to stop looking at all the negatives, to believe, you know, to absolutely believe that what I desired was going to come to me. And, you know, from the corporate career that I had that I did in 8 years, which, you know, apparently it can take something like up to 15 years to get to where I was, but I did it in 8. And I had a lot of different roles in that time as well. I didn't just go from one to the other, you know, I had a lot of different roles, but every time I moved up and on and up and up and up, and till I finally realized that through this career I was helping a lot of people to transform their lives. I was helping a lot of people to make changes, to change the way they think. And of course it struck me, hang on a minute, I'm in the wrong job. I need to be doing this full time. And that's when I did my another big leap, and I decided to come out of paid work and go into creating my own business. And using the same principles there again, you know, I focused on exactly what I desired, that I wanted to get out. I wanted to be able to contact as many people across the world as I could. You know, I had an unbelievable 5 months on social media and 5,000 people following me in 5 months. You know, I attracted having my radio show start. I've written 3 books now. I'm on my 4th one, you know, and it just goes on and on and on, because I believe that I am in control and I create everything that comes into my reality.
Now, you're correct. With that, you are in control and you are bringing everything that comes into your reality. But I want to go back to where you started with all of this, and that is the person sitting around listening to this show right now, but also with that mindset that, oh my, I need to get some money to pay these bills. I need to get the money to pay the bills. When they should be saying what?
What they should be saying, and as I said, I know it's challenging, but I've been there and I've been exactly in that place. You have to focus on your desires. You have to focus, because the whole key of abundance coming to you is by you being in high energy, is keeping your whole body resonance into high energy. And you do this by visualizing what you love, by attracting and desiring things in your life that are going to make you happy. Now, money is only a very, very small fraction of it, because yeah, money will solve a few problems now, but they won't deal with family issues. They won't deal with happiness. They won't. It won't deal with finding a new partner. But what it does is it creates freedom. And if you actually start to live for what you love, you actually create yourself money flowing to you naturally. So it's not, I know people are going to say, oh, yeah, we always hear this. You know, when you say it's not about the money. Yes, I know when you're, you know, when you have next to nothing coming in and you don't know whether you can buy food or maybe pay an electric bill, and you think, yeah, I'm sorry, but money is very, very important. When you understand and you let yourself go, it's letting go of resistance, because when you worry, you cause yourself to go into a low vibrational energy. And if you're in a low vibrational energy, you are in resistance. And this also comes back to what you're doing around disease and the diet. Because when you constantly keep yourself in a low vibrational energy, the void between where you should be in high energy and where you are starts to build. It starts to build a pressure. And that pressure has to come out in the end, and it comes out into physical manifestations, which are illness, cough, colds, tumors, cancers, whatever. And this is all a resistance that is being held in the body to where you are supposed to be. This is your body. This is your body and your energy telling you, you're not in alignment. You're not where you're supposed to be. You are supposed to be loving your life. That's why we're here. We're not here to go through. All these people, if they are being told you are here to work hard and put your nose to the grindstone, you'll never get anywhere unless you work. Rubbish, absolute rubbish. You are here to love your life. You are here to have the happiest life you possibly can. And when you allow yourself to do that, you actually let go of resistance and you start allowing abundance in. Money will flow once you start to do and have the mindset of just appreciating what's around you, being grateful that all of your desires are coming to you. Just, you know, you just know that they're coming to you. And once you can get your, you know, you can change your thinking to that, you then in yourself become a much happier person. You know, you're more positive, you feel lighter. The wonderful thing about what I teach people with energy is that this, all the business of, oh, how am I going to get money? Where is it going to come from? I'm going to have to go and get a second job. You don't have to worry about the how. This is the brilliant thing about how the universe works. Is that it's not about the how, it's about you learning to get into a higher vibration by appreciating day to day, you know, points of appreciation in your day, even if it's just down to putting your head on a pillow. I mean, you know, I told you before, I worked with a lady who was homeless and penniless. She was living in the woods in Canada, and she contacted me and she said, "What do I do now?" And I said, well, you know, actually, you're probably in the best place because you finally said, I don't know what to do. I give up. And because she gave up, she let go of resistance.
Right.
You know, and I wrote out gratitude statements, which, you know, which is what I do. I wrote out gratitude statements for her to attract her desires. Well, you know, because obviously now she desired to be somewhere, to be in somewhere warm and to have a warm meal. So I wrote out gratitude statements and I said, look, your point of appreciation, you have the best point of appreciation around you. You have nature, you know, you have this immense energy around you and you're in it daily. Within 4 days, she had a phone call from her doctors to say, that, yes, they were going to treat her after all, but to do it, they had to get her into a woman's shelter. So at 5 o'clock that evening, she went into a woman's shelter. Now, this was a few months ago, and from there, she's now moving into her own place, her own home, this month. She's now working with a television show to do a series on depression.
Wow.
So if somebody who is homeless and penniless can do it, anybody can.
Right, right. What? Going back to what you said, and I realize we're running out of time with you, and we again thank you for being here so much. You talked about how when you stop worrying about money, it kind of flows to you. And one example came to my mind is Mother Teresa is one of the richest people in the world, and when asked about money, she simply said, "I do not worry about money; it will be provided." And then your other statement is you're not here to put your nose to the grindstone. You're here to love your life. And then once you're able to love your life, big key to this is you can become a beacon and assist others to love theirs.
Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing and the only thing that you should view money as is that it gives you freedom.
Right.
Because, you know, as long as you're loving your life, money will flow, money will come to you, and you will always have what you need. Once you start, having more than you need, it gives you the freedom to then help others. You know, in what I do, I do intend to make a lot of money, but I the reason I want to do this is because I want to create a foundation and I want to create sanctuaries in every city in the world. And these will be for people who are in the position of on low income, who are victims of abuse, who are living in refuges. But they can come away for 3 days at a time. They can have counseling. They can have coaching. They can have holistic therapies. They can learn these strategies. They can change their mindset. When they go back, they will have a 6-month mentoring program. To help them maintain the change, which they won't need, because every single person that I've worked with has started to see changes in less than a week. Every single one of them. But, you know, you have to believe in yourself, and you have to be confident in yourself, and you have to love yourself in order to believe that you can make the changes happen. Because otherwise, you put yourself in a place of being a victim. And you're saying, well, you know, nothing ever goes right for me, and the government says this, and the papers say this, and so I suppose, you know, here I am. It's rubbish. You know, you can stay a victim, but, you know, nothing will ever change in your life. And if you want your life to change, you've got to make the changes. You've got to start changing the way you think.
Well, that was one of the three things I got from everything you said. First thing would be change your habits. The second thing was accept responsibility for your own thoughts and actions. And then your most important one that started all the way back from when you took the big leap for your family, and that was adapt. And I think those three things permeate throughout everything that you say. And even going on to, like you said, the disease and the low vibration. I mean, how many of us know people that constantly come in there sniffling, oh, I got another cold, and their life, you know, is not absolutely perfect because they're constantly low in the vibration. They're constantly getting some kind of illness, and that's what they're attracting at all times. So if you can adapt, accept responsibility, and change your habits, change your mind habits as well, I think you're on the right track there.
You know, going back to what you say about the cold, when I work with clients, that is my biggest indication that they are not in alignment. As soon as I have people say to me, oh, you know, you have to excuse me, I've got a cold, can't shift it, I've had this cold for weeks, straight away I'm like, yeah, okay, I know what's wrong with you. I can literally, the brilliant thing about, you know, when I say working with energy, it's, you know, a lot of people are still under the misconception that it's all woo-woo, you know, and it's all mystical stuff. It's not. This is science-based. This science has completely confirmed everything that I teach people now. Yeah, that we live in an energetic world. Everything is energy. Everything is moving molecules. And when you learn to understand that, I connect to people like yourself. I connect to you over, you know, thousands of miles.
Right.
I know when somebody has their energy vibration has lowered. I feel it. I constantly will text people or email and I'll say, "Are you okay?" Because your energy, I'm feeling your energy in mine at the moment. What's up? Every single time I do it, they come back and go, "How on earth did you know that?" You know, I had a lady last week, Jo Berry, who's she's talking at for the Peace One Day program shortly. And I've been communicating with her quite a lot because I've been helping her with this. And I felt her energy had got low. And I emailed her and I said, "Are you okay? Is everything okay?" And she goes, "Oh, my God, I was just emailing you to see if you could help me." And, you know, but this is how powerful it is. This is how powerful you can make the changes. You know, I mean, if I very, very quickly sort of explain to you, I don't know whether people will get this, but what the key kind of like tactics are, it's you have to change your thought process. Now, your thought process is not just your thoughts. You can't just change your thoughts and all of a sudden something just appears, a new car appears in front of you. It doesn't work like that. Whatever people... Emotion matches your thoughts. If you're thinking, "Yeah, I've got loads of money and I've got it pouring into me," your emotions are saying, "Oh my God, it's never going to happen. I'm fooling myself." You know, there's a misalignment straight away. So it's the flow of money isn't going to happen. Your thoughts and your energy have to match in order to keep those moving and keeping positive. You have to find points of appreciation day to day. This is your exercise. This is like going to the gym. You know, you go to the gym to keep healthy. You need to exercise to keep your energy healthy, to keep your abundance coming in. And you do it by finding points of appreciation. And then you write down your gratitudes. You're grateful for what you desire as if it's already here. Do not be grateful for what's going on in your life. Wishing come into your life, but being grateful as if they are already here, and they are the key points to actually making abundance happen.
Now, that's just incredible stuff, and unfortunately, I got a little breakup from some of it, but hopefully we'll get more. Anything that's missing in the conversation or in the talk that Adele just gave. We will put up somewhere on a link off of my website and her website, and we'll tell everyone, we'll get her to write down and transcribe what she just said in case some of those words were missing. Adele, you probably didn't hear it, but we got a couple seconds of silence while you were talking.
Oh, right.
It's okay, but we got the gist of what you're saying, and it's change your thought process, and we talk about this a lot on this show, and I know we're over your hour here, And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, listen to her energy, listen to how she speaks and how she gets you to understand what's going on, and understand that over there, it is 2 a.m., right?
That's right.
Over in the UK, she's up at 2 a.m. for this live interview right here on this show, and when she says we connect, we're not kidding. We found each other across the biggest pond we know. And we, like I said, we're the best friends, and it is an amazing thing. And we are going to together make massive change on a lot of people's lives. So look for both of us to give great big announcements coming up. And Adele, you have a website, you have Facebook, you have LinkedIn, you have Twitter. And you have your own radio show on Radio Lightworker. I'm going to tell people about all of those things on Facebook throughout the coming week and everything. Of course, it's AdeleOmahony.com. That's EdeleOmahony.com. And then, of course, Facebook, she's there. She is on LinkedIn as well, and it's the UK LinkedIn, right?
That's right, yes.
Is that different?
I'm not sure, actually.
I don't know either.
I don't know if they use a .co.uk or a .com.
Well,
because I don't use it now.
Yeah, it says uk.linkedin.com. I guess you could just go to LinkedIn and search for her. And I don't know why we're not LinkedIn together. That's the one place we're not connected, I think. And then get her tweets, so to speak, at twitter.com, AdeleOmahony. Omahony. And she and I follow each other, I do believe. And,
yeah.
And you get some massively inspirational tweets from her on Facebook and Twitter, I can tell you that.
Also on Facebook, I've got, if they can do www.facebook.com/gratitudegoddess.
Okay.
That's my fan page.
Excellent. So get there and like that, and you get, again, massive, massive, spiritually uplifting stuff. And she does it all the time. And there are times when I'm feeling low, and I can tell you this. I could be like, well, I'm kind of doing this work, and it feels drudgery and stuff, and then suddenly a tweet or a Facebook will come over my phone, or I'll see it online from you, and it'll be, you know, your thoughts right now could be transforming your life in this direction, and I'll be like, yes, you're right, I'll do that.
if I give you a little clue to that, what I do when I do my messages in Facebook, and I do them every single day, and I have done since I started, probably on 7 months or so on there, and I actually can't stop now because there are so many people waiting for my messages. So even if I was going to stop, I couldn't. But what I do is I connect to energy in the morning, and I ask, what are the questions that people are asking? And I will either get given a feeling or I will get a question in my head. And that is the answer I give, is those messages on Facebook. So they're always an answer to a question.
Right. And so.
I will actually get people on there going, you don't know how much I needed to hear that today. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes, I do. Right. See, so ladies and gentlemen, she's not only an incredible gratitude goddess, she also knows everything you're thinking at all times.
No, not everything.
Not everything. That's good, because we don't need to know what I'm thinking sometimes. Very, very not good. Well, Adele, I'd love to have you on forever, but I know it's 2 a.m., and you told me way before we started the show that you have something to do just 5 hours from now or 4 hours from now.
4 hours from now, yes.
Yes, and that has to do with children taking tests, right?
Yeah, my son is doing his chemistry exam.
He's not awake right now, right?
I hope not. He should be asleep. They do GCSEs over here, which is, like high school exams.
Right.
You know, that over there. So, but I now have him home tutored because he's so creative. The school system over here was just stifling him. So I do everything home tutored, but it does mean that I have to take him to a center to sit his exam.
Right. And homeschooling, home tutored, I love how you say it, home tutored over there. It's homeschooling over here. We of course, homeschool our child. And I love how you say it. It's because it wasn't conducive for him. And sometimes as a parent, you feel that conducivity is not there. And homeschooling is one of the largest schoolings starting to occur over here. It's starting to grow at leaps and bounds because people are starting to feel that.
Yes.
So I believe that in itself is going to attract generational impacts as well.
Yeah, well, one of my passions is to get my course into the national curriculum over here, so they actually teach it in the schools.
Right.
You know, I'm sort of going to work out how I need to do this and just really, really go for it, because it's something that's so badly needed now. And it's the right time. It's the right time for this to come in. Business is starting to change to contribution and service to others, and school systems have got to do the same.
Right. Well, I'm going to let you get to sleep.
Thank you.
And I hate to see you go. And we have to have you on again, because we never even got into the disease and the diet part, which you touched upon.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'd love to come back. You know, I wasn't aware that this exam had come around so quickly.
Right.
I only got notified of it at very short notice. So hopefully, when you're doing another show, there'll be nothing else around, so I'll be able to stay on for longer.
Yeah, and that would be great, because, you know, talking about how people can get rid of disease would be another step that I'm sure the audience would love to hear.
Yeah, no, that's and it's just so easy as well. That's the thing. It's so easy once you understand how to apply the changes in your mind.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank her enough. She's one of my favorite people in the way she speaks. Even the straightaway and all the other stuff she said today, just amazing. Adele, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you very much. And I've loved being here, and I really hope that what I've said has been of help to people.
Well, I mean, if not what you've said, the fact that what you've done should show people that it's possible. And
absolutely.
So,
yeah. I mean, please, for anybody that's out there that is, you know, just living on the minimum, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how little we lived on. And if I can do this, you can do it. Anybody can do this.
That's right. And we say that constantly, and here's more proof we bring in front of you, ladies and gentlemen. Again, thank you again. Go get to sleep so you can be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed while I'm sleeping.
Okay. Okay, Jack. I'll speak to you again soon.
Oh, absolutely. Talk to you later.
Bye now.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank her enough for being here. So absolutely ecstatic. We went overboard. She stayed for more than her hour. She needs to get some sleep. But you have learned so much from an inspiration. And not just an inspiration, but an incredibly gifted, wise inspiration. One that has taken exactly how we talk before we go world, nation, family, yourself. She did it the exact correct way. She went herself, her family, she's working on her nation, and both of us together through the pond is working on the world. And that's what's important. And you heard her say that while raising a family, which she didn't think that it was the most important part, She took another leap off of a successful financial career to start her own business. And we didn't get to go into that so much because we were just listening to the wise words she was saying. But I can guarantee you that some of that starting of her business was a struggle. Well, maybe not for her, because she attracts some very good stuff. But I guarantee you that she would want to have attracted some assistance in starting that business. And one of the best places you can get assistance for that is at sandhill.sohooffice.com. And you know that I talk about that every show. And there's a reason that the first step is cultivate your personal life. And that is cultivate your success and cultivate how you will become a beacon of light to help others, whether it be whatever you want it to do. If you think there's a need for people to purchase your services or your goods, then you're starting your own business to help others. Now, if you're starting your own business to take from others or lie to others, then that's not going to work and you're going to fail. But if you're starting your business to help others, to actually desire to assist people to be better than they are today, then that is the correct way to start. And as you heard her jump off that financial train that she was on and jump right into saying, my calling is to be that beacon of light for other people. And she has a website. We told it to you, AdeleAmani.com. Now, you don't have a website. You just started your own business. You don't have a business card. You don't have a Facebook. They do all that at sandhill.sohooffice.com. You don't even have a computer. You're listening to this on your buddy's computer, aren't you? Well, you can get computers there as well. Sandhill.sohooffice.com. Send them an email. Tell them what you need, and they can give it to you. I don't even have a time to list the things that they can do for you because it's unending and incredible. So again, thank you for listening to Adele Omani's interview all the way across the pond. It's 2 a.m. where she is. She's going to take a small nap, but for you and I, we're here for the next 43 minutes to talk about some of the stuff she hit on. So let's get down to it.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show.
Hey, folks, it's time for the show.
Welcome.
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Tonight, if you make the decision that it starts tonight, you just had education of how you can today start changing your thoughts, changing your life, and having everything that you've ever desired come to you because you change your vibrational energy in that last 70 minutes. And we've got to have her on again because it's just not enough time. There's so much wisdom and there's not enough time. We're going to have her on again. We're going to work on her and I having segments. I'm going to have some segments of hers on this show every week so that we can always get that peace from her. But if you want to know, get her daily inspiration off of Facebook and Twitter. Go like her right now, facebook.com/gratitudegoddess. Or go to twitter.com/AdeleOmani. That's EdeleOmahony. And, of course, you can just get her by following me, twitter.com/JackHatfield. And facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. So you need to come like and follow both of us on Twitter and Facebook right now because there's some big things coming out of her and I joining up here, and that's the reason why I'm the first American on her show. She's the first UK on my show, and she's Irish, so first Irish as well on my show. But let's go into another episode of our class, and as class starts, we always do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United
States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's right. You used to say the Pledge of Allegiance and at the beginning of every school day, and that's no longer done. It's having a resurgence, though, but we're doing it back right here on Fix the Family, Fix America. Now, I could try to talk about the myriad of topics that we have every week on this show, but I'm just going to go on a little tirade here about what she says and things that she spoke about. To implant it deeper into your mind, not like the probe we talked about last week where they put the deep mind implant from that wire of the circuitry to give you little shocks to keep you in line. It's not that kind of implant. What she speaks about is changing your thought processes. Actually not sitting there and changing your thoughts, because we talk about that all the time. You could be sitting in a beanbag, eating Cheetos, getting orange hands, and going, yeah, I want $1 million. And I'm just going to think hard about $1 million. Think real hard. And it should come through the door in a minute. But money don't walk. Ladies and gentlemen, money doesn't walk by itself. So you can sit there in your beanbag with your Cheetos, and all you're going to end up with is orange hands and not that $1 million. She says, you have to change your thought process. Then you actually have to start making actions and your active vibrational energy to get to those thoughts and align yourself. Okay? Without those actions and those thoughts, nothing happens. Nothing happens. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, listen to her story. All right? Married, 4 children, suddenly says, can't do this relationship anymore. It's just not safe. Takes the massive leap. Now she's got 4 children raised on her own. No job. Did it on $30 a week for a little while. You understand that? $30 a week for a little while. 49 pounds. In UK dollars, for the UK listeners who are still trying to listen and understand my inflection of talk. My accent is a little different, yes. Anyway, it wasn't the money. She was never worried about that. Yes, it was tough to pay the electric bill and all that other stuff and feed her children, make sure everything right. But she knew that wasn't going to stay as temporary. And then she knew every leap she took and every step that she made, she found herself able to stretch her mind even further to see another goal. We talk about it on the show where you think, I can never get to be there. Then suddenly something major happens in your life and you're forced to be there. And then now you're in there, you're on the wall, and now you see even further than the wall. And you go, well, this wall's not necessary anymore, because now my limit is the next wall. And then something happens that puts you on the next wall, and you look out again, and you go, this isn't a wall anymore. Think of it when you're a little child. And you go to, let's say, climb yourself up a slide. You want to walk up the slide, and you're a little tiny, and your feet start slipping. And you just can't get it. You keep slipping. You haven't learned that you have to get that stability yet. So you try one day, you never make it. So you try again, you get up a little further today, you slid back down. But the next day you go out there, you go, well, I know I can get to there. Because I did it yesterday. So all I have to do today is go from there to the next place. So in your mind, you're not starting at the bottom of the slide today. You're starting at where you slid down yesterday. So immediately you run to get to the spot that you fell yesterday, and all you want to do is make one more step, and you make that one more step, and then you slide back down. You go, whew. And so you try it again, you slide back down. Try it again, you slide back down. But the next day, you go back out there. Where's the slide start that day? It starts two steps up from where you were. Your slide is shorter. The slide has never changed its length. But your brain and your goals change the perception of the length of the slide. So now today, the only thing you have to do, because your slide starts right there, is take one more step and you're at the top. And you go and you know you can get to here, and you go one more step and you're on the top. Now the slide has been conquered completely. And so you stand on top of that slide and you look out amongst that playground, and now you see the giant slide over to your right. And you go, well, this slide, I know I can get up anytime I want to. I'm going to go give the giant slide a little hit here. That's what she's talking about. Stretch your mind. Stretch your abilities. Change your thoughts. And adapt. Oh, adapt. We talk about that all the time on this show. Adapt. And not only adapt, accept responsibility for you having to adapt. Accept responsibility for you having to adapt. Not sitting here going, oh, the stuff in the paper, the stuff the government's doing, I have to adapt to that. No, no, no. You have to accept responsibility that you have to adapt because of the things you control. Not the woe is me, all kind of is happening to me all the time. It's fantastic. I get to stretch my slide again. Success can come to you in even the worst of times. She told you there's more millionaires this year, in the last year, than the previous 10. Now, why is that? I thought the economy really, really sucked. It does suck. It sucks for the people that are allowing it to suck for themselves. The economy as a whole, I mean, this is key. I want to listen carefully. The economy as a whole sucks because so many people are allowing their personal economy to suck. What? What did you say? That is not correct, because I'm personally positively sure that my personal economy sucks because this economy sucks. Wrong. This economy sucks because so many people are accepting the fact that their personal economy sucks. And they're doing nothing to change it. Those people that have become millionaires, despite the economy, what did they do? What happened there? Their personal economy didn't suck. The economy sucks because so many people are accepting their personal economy to suck. That, I just gave you 5 minutes of wisdom right there that is going to blow your mind. Because tomorrow you're going to see someone come and tell you, oh, woe is me, blah. And you're going to go, you know what? That person's personal economy sucks because he kind of wants it to. And when I'm telling you they kind of want it to, it means they're doing nothing to change it. They're kind of happy. I know it doesn't seem like they're happy, but apparently they're very happy in their own personal muck and mire. They're kind of happy having to go, woe is me, all the time. Isn't that kind of odd? Isn't that weird? But now that I've said it, Adele said it, we've shown it to you, your walls of seeking this out has changed. Now you're going to see it easier than you ever have before. And you're going to see why people are miserable. You're going to see why people are happy at being miserable. Because apparently that's the only explanation. They do nothing to change their true, deep thought processes. Adele talks about, do you know who you are? And do you like who you are? And then if you could change your thoughts to be whoever you want to be, why in the hell wouldn't you do it? I failed to do on the second hour because we're past the second hour and I had to get started. But to put the world right in order, we put the nation in order, put the nation in order, we put the family in order, put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. You are not here to simply work and do and be. You are here, as Adele says, to love your life. So if someone is miserable, grasp this concept. If someone is miserable and stuck in the muck and the mire, they are apparently very, very happy with sucking. Once you grasp that, you understand that that person is exactly where they are because that's where they choose to be. So now, look inside yourself. Are you where you are because that's exactly where you choose to be? And I can hear some of you now going, no, no, no. No, I'm here because of that, either a stank woman, that dumb guy, my parents, my job, not me, no, can't be me. Now look deeper. Are you allowing that stank woman or dumb guy or parents or job to change your attitude? Well, yes, I guess I am. Then are you allowing yourself to not have the positive thoughts and your ideal life to be envisioned inside your brain because of these people? Well, yeah, that's what I just said. They're constantly giving me problems. Then, if you were to change your thoughts and not allow these people to affect your thoughts, couldn't you be whoever you wanted to be? Well, I guess. You guess. No, you don't guess. You know. You know. You change your thought process. She told you how to do it. you can uncover the magnificence of who you really are. You can reveal your success. Take control of your life, adapt to it, accept responsibility for making those adaptions, experience your life in the way you choose to experience it, not the way it's forced upon you. Find where you want your life to be, create it first in your mind, and it will manifest itself for you to go love your life. I can tell you right now that people would look at me and go, hey, Mr. Positivity, Mr. Law of Attraction, looks like you're stuck in a muck and mire all the time. What happened to you? Well, I can tell you. I made decisions to be exactly where I am, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, I have no fear that all of it will end up the greatest that it can be. I have no fear that massive change is about to occur. I have no fear that true success is on the way. Every day, I am making steps and sending out happy, mega thoughts on exactly how I love my life. And for 1 second, do you think this show that's been on every week for over a year, helping people be positive fathers, make a difference mothers, pull through parents, and success? You think I'm just doing this for fun? It is fun. We have fun. It's what we do. I make fun of a lot of people here. But today, we're not going to make fun of you unless you are happy that you're stuck in the muck and the mire. I do this because, A, it is fun, and B, I love making fun of people that are not smart. That's an inside statement. And then I love watching people go, oh, I got it. I got it. And this audience is truly an incredible audience, and let me tell you why. One, this started with no one knowing this show even existed. When this show started on the air, it was an absolute amazing thing to see listeners through the week. And then here we are over a year later, and all of this year, we doubled the size of the program, and we've quadrupled the listeners every week. And that's thanks to you. Now, do you think I've sat here every week when it was no one listening and said, oh, woe is me, I might as well stop the show? No. Because guess what? Even the first show can be heard by you today. You can go scroll down all the way through the archives and go all the way back to the first show and start listening. Doesn't matter if someone didn't hear it then. It matters that someone's going to hear it now or later. I didn't start the show for a listener to be right now. I started the show to make a generational impact on families. I started the show to make parents be responsible. I'm here at this show every day to have a blast and for us to learn, for us to witness what's going on around us, and for us together, collectively, Get this. This is why me and Adele are fantastic buddies. We're friends to the end. No doubt about this. Because we together, we know our energies together can make a bigger impact than separately. And we felt each other's energy all the way from America to UK. And we connected. And when you have that thought that someone is going to be in your life that's going to help you create and be and be bigger than you ever thought, this is what happens. This is why I can't talk about her enough. This is why I can't have her on the show enough. This is why she's going to be absolutely mad at me that I announced she'll have a segment on my show. I can't wait to hear that. What? You want me? What? Yes, I would love for her to have a segment on my show every week. We'll see what happens. If she can't do it every week, at least she can pop in some kind of recording or talk. Maybe we can have the Adele Omani Minute. Or 5 minutes, or whatever it takes for her segment. That's just an idea that popped in my head, and I love it. She's asleep now, hopefully. So don't tell her yet. But wow. Wow. Listen to her. Big leap. Four kids. Made the decision. Halfway through, made another decision. Not only to continue raising your children correctly, but to go on and help you be a better person. Very similar to me. We're very similar people. I quit everything when my daughter was born to sit by her side. And then not satisfied with simply ensuring that she is a success, her power and energy from her, I have to share with others. I had no choice. It's the reason this show exists. It's the reason I do what I do. It's the reason I have two books. It's the reason I do speeches. It's the reason I've trudged across states with kangaroos and books. To be somewhere not knowing if a single soul will show up. And if only one did, you know what I did? I still recorded it because I know it's incredible stuff. It's incredible stuff. Now, I could go into some dietary news. One of the funniest things in the news right now, San Francisco, as you know, said that they're forcing you to have what's called low-flow toilets. And, of course, that then spawned a low-flow toilet all the way across the country. But now these low-flow toilets are putting more sludge into the sewer. Well, yeah, because less water makes the waste more solid. So that has created a rotten egg stench near the park and elsewhere. And they are preparing for it. During the dry summer months, because that's when the stench really gets bad. Now, the city, according to this low-flow toilet thing, has saved, here's what they say, 20 million gallons of water. Okay? I don't know how much water is in San Francisco, 20 million gallons. Let's say it's, if you use water, let me see. Where's my electric bill? Let's see. Water consumption. La, 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 la. Looks like you used 600 gallons of water. Okay. I used 600 gallons of water on my electric bill last month. Oh, goodness. 600. Really? Carbon footprint. Actually, it was 541. They did the math for me. Right here on the bill. Yeah, top 10 right here. They charged me $25.42 for those 541 gallons. So that is, I don't know how much that is, but it's not a lot. So, because of these low-flow toilets, San Francisco has saved 20 million gallons of water. That's what they say. 20 million gallons of water. Because of the low-flow toilets, they've had to spend $100 million to upgrade the sewer system and sewage plants to combat the sludge problem and odor problem. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that 20 into 100 is 5. So that to me is it has cost them, not save them, cost them $5 a gallon to save the water. $5 a gallon of water saved. In other words, they didn't use it, but it still cost them $5 per gallon of water they're not using. Does that seem logical to you, ladies and gentlemen? They're spending $5 per gallon of water they're not using. And guess what else they're doing? They are now buying $14 million of sodium hypochlorite bleach. And move the sludge before they dump it into the ocean. That's 8.5 million pounds of bleach poured in the city drains or in the drinking water supply every year to offset the $5 per gallon they're saving of water they're not they're spending of water they're not using. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like positive high energy vibrations. That was one of the items this week. And again, when you follow me on Twitter and Facebook, you can get these things all week long. Things like $5 a gallon of water we don't use. I wish I had that gig. I wish I could sell someone $5 a gallon of water that I didn't have to give them. That is a new business. I could call up San Francisco tomorrow. I will open up the Saved Water Save Water Company. I will charge San Francisco. I'll give them a deal. $2.50. I'll cut it in half. $2.50 for the water that I'm not going to give you per gallon. And I will give you, I'll give them 200 million gallons of water that I don't have to give them. And I only charge them $2.50 a gallon. That's a savings right now. They're saving money buying their water that they're saving from me. The water they're not using from me. At half the price than what they're spending on it now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm selling stock in this company as well. And you can buy in right now for a measly dollar. I have 20 million shares ready to sell. Simply text me or email me your credit information or bank routing numbers. And we will take the dollar stock. You tell me how many stocks you want. Remember, I have 20 million shares to sell at only $1 a piece, and we are going to be selling the water that San Francisco's not using to them for half the price than they're paying now. So I understand that many of you would like to get in on the ground floor of something this incredible. Because we're looking to sell 250 million gallons over the next 5 years to San Francisco for the water they're not going to use at only $2.50 a gallon. So again, credit card numbers, make sure you put the expiration dates and that little code on the back, need that. And then just tell me how many shares you need. It's only $1 a share. If you don't have a credit card, it's perfectly fine. Send your bank name, bank address, bank routing number, and then your account number. Those are the two numbers on the bottoms of the check. And then tell me how many shares you'd like for that business, of our new business called Save Water Company, going to start selling the water that San Francisco is not going to use to them. You email that to jhatfield@naturalsuccessprinciples.com. It's perfectly fine. And we'll get you squared away. We'll get you squared away. And get in early now. This is probably going to sell out probably by Thursday. So it's really important. So I don't know what day you're listening, but if it's Thursday, you should really do it quickly right now. But if it's not Thursday, you should do it before Thursday. And you should do it as fast as you possibly can. I'd do it right now if I was listening to me. In fact, I'm probably going to send my own credit card number to myself right now. Hang on a second. Let me do that. Yes, there it is. I just bought 10 shares. No, 1,000 shares. That's right. I just bought 1,000 shares. That's 1,000. Ha ha! I know big easy money when I hear it. Oh, we only got 8 minutes left. Again, I want to thank Adele Monty for being here this first 70 minutes of this show and enlightening every one of you. Now I have homework for you. For you new listeners out there, and I'm sure, I'm positive that we're going to have some more British and Irish and across the pond listeners than we've ever had before tonight and all this week. I'm positive we're going to have more. And so let me tell you your homework over there. And as Adele says, bring it on. I love how she says, I can't do it justice. Your homework is every person that you see after you listen to this show, you go up to them and you say, you need to start listening to Fix the Family, Fix America. And that seems odd, especially if you're in England. So you can say, Fix the Family, Fix the World, because we do that too. So just tell them to listen to Jack Hatfield. It's not that hard. blogtalkradio.com/Jack Hatfield. Listen to me. It's that simple. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. Follow Adele on Twitter. Follow Adele on Facebook. That's your homework for the week. Now, because all the listeners that we've had up to this point have done their homework, again, quadrupled in listenership every week this year. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure it's the beginning of March. I'm pretty sure. I actually cannot tell you if that's fact or not. I'm pretty sure it's March. So, take that. That's pretty impressive. And we couldn't have done it without you. Whether you're over there or over here, every person you see, you go up and say, listen to Jack Hatfield. It's not that hard. Now, we had a couple of people that were new because we drive on a different side of the road over here. Is it still okay to hit the car when I see a person driving and get out if I'm on the other side of the road? And the answer is absolutely. It is okay for you to go ahead and still hit that car and get out and go tell them to listen to Fix the Family with Jack Hatfield. That is something you must do. And then just get back in your car and drive off. There's no reason to talk to them any further. Just make sure they understand what you're telling them so that they do it. And it'd be nice, actually, if you had it written on a slip of paper. So you need to have like a stack of little tiny slips of paper in your car for just this event. For when you hit the car, and then you get out your car and you go up to the window and you go, "Hey, buddy, here." And you hand them the slip of paper and it says, "Listen to blogtalkradio.com/Jack Hatfield. And then you're done. You can just get back in your car and drive off. It's that. I mean, I'm making it very simple for you to do your homework. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know how to make it easier. See, change your thought patterns, and things are easy. And I think for you here on this show. And I tell you exactly what you need to do. And I thank you for it. Because we are, like I say, growing by leaps and bounds. All right, I can't go into any more stories. We're about to run out of time. This has been one of the greatest shows that we have done, and that is saying a lot. But we have to owe all of it to Adele for being here, adding her wonderful accent to the show instead of the normal southern drawl that y'all hear. And the wisdom that she gave you was like a class unto itself. In fact, if you feel you need to pay money for the show you just heard, you can do so and I would give you free stock in that new company. Send your credit card information or your bank routing numbers to the email jhatfield@naturalsuccessprinciples. And if you pay the $10 fee $1,000 fee that Adele's teachings would have cost you tonight, I'll give you free stock in the Saved Water Company for San Francisco. Now that is a deal. Look at this. I'm just cutting deals as we go, ladies and gentlemen, because she has inspired me so much to just say, "I'm going to change people's lives. I want to let you in on companies that are going to be successful." So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. And I know. Well, thank you. It is great. It is. Wow. Oh, I'm having fun. All of my energy from when she was here is amazing. I could go on and on about how you need to adapt and take responsibility. I really, really do. And how you need to understand that as a parent, you're being watched. Remember, we talked just two shows ago where they did a broad, cross-the-board study on children's number one item of impact. Across-the-board study, all ethnic backgrounds, all social and economic backgrounds, cross-the-board study, the number one influence on a child's life was their parent. The number one reason that the child would want to be this or that was that their parent was this or that. That's incredible. See, even my lady that tells me how much time I has. See? Even the lady tells me how much time I have has a better accent than me. Again, we want to thank Adele. We want to thank you for listening. You have your homework. I really expect you to do it. And don't forget, ground floor of a up-and-coming business, right here possible. Email your credit card and bank routing number. We love you. Do your work. Go home. Kiss your significant other. Spend time with your children. Give them a kiss goodnight. And then have a nice libation on me. I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening and being here.